Today we're meeting with Rupert Hipwill, who you'll all recognise from his regular readings on part two of week four. Rupert's father was Jimmy Hipwill. He died in 2010, and he had a great reputation about Norwich, but I don't know much about him, so I hope Rupert's going to enlighten us. Rupert, welcome to Chat Around, and thank you ever so much for finding time to talk to us.
Thank you very much, Marnie. It's a pleasure.
First of all, I think you might begin by telling us about your father's career. What did he do, and where did he do it, and when did he do it?
Well, he was a lawyer in many different guises. He was qualified as a solicitor after the war, and he specialised in advocacy. He was a defence solicitor doing matrimonial and criminal work. But in the 60s and very early 70s, he prosecuted for the police in the days before they created the Crown Prosecution Service. So he did defence and prosecution work. And in the course of his career, he got to know and defend and befriend many old lags who still sometimes mention his name in glowing terms. But apart from being a solicitor, he was also a district judge, an assistant district judge working in the civil courts. And he was a clerk to the justices at what we used to call petty sessional divisions, which today's language means magistrates' courts. Then they reorganised the whole system in the early 70s, and he was phased out. But he carried on with his solicitor's practice, and he was a senior partner of a firm of solicitors in Norwich. He's probably best known for his work as coroner. And in the 80s and 90s, he was a HM coroner for Norwich.
Has he always been in Norwich?
He's always been Norwich. He was born in Norwich and adored Norwich, although he was second generation. The family don't go, they're not a long-standing Norwich family.
I've heard that he was a much married man. Is that right?
Yes, he was. He married five times. First time to a lady who thought better of it after 6 months and went off to London. Then he married my mother, who sadly died within 3 years of 4 years of their marriage when I was only about one. He had three more wives after that, two of which died 2 years ago. And his last wife survives him, Wendy. And so, yes, he's had five wives, and probably the reason why he was never deemed appropriate to receive an honour from the palace.
Oh, really?
One of his greatest regrets that he always felt that given his contribution to Norwich society and his civic duty, he should be given a gong of some description, but he never got it.
Oh, that's a shame.
He was actually Sheriff of Norwich in 1967 at the time that Harry Perry was Lord Mayor. And Harry Perry went on to have a road named after him, just off Eaton Road, Harry Perry Close. And at the time, my father was a city councillor as well, and he was quite instrumental in the development of the Beaufort estate. And I think it was he cherished the hope that he might have a road in Beaufort, or even a grotty little cul-de-sac named after him. But no, his reputation preceded him, so he was never honoured with either a gong or a road.
Oh, I find that rather sad, yes. Sounds as though he would have enjoyed that. Many people have mentioned the fact that he was a rather colourful coroner. What does a colourful coroner, how does it differ from a dull coroner?
A taupe coroner, a rather bland coroner. Well, he was quite outspoken. He believed in speaking his mind, and to be fair to him, the role of the coroner is not just to deliver verdicts at inquests, but also to make recommendations. To give you two examples when he was deemed to be somewhat outspoken. In an inquest following a fatal road traffic accident involving an elderly driver, he made the point that drivers of a certain age should be subject to a mandatory retest, and that seemed to get a lot of people very animated in the press, some agreeing wholeheartedly and others disagreeing equally wholeheartedly. On another occasion, a sex worker was found murdered, and before, I don't think anyone was ever brought to book for it, no one was ever prosecuted, so there had to be an inquest, and there was a finding of unlawful killing. But in the course of the inquest, he made the point that licensed brothels would be a good idea in Norwich to protect sex workers, something which I agree with, and many people agree with, actually. anyway, it's a controversial issue, and it's something, again, which attracted some media attention. But his most notorious moment came not in the course of delivering a verdict, but in the course of opening an inquest, when he... I should just say the opening of an inquest is very much a brief formality. When you open an inquest, you literally have the coroner's officer present, and you simply record that the matter has been opened and it will be adjourned and heard on another date. It takes 5 minutes. And very often my father would do this from his home address. On one occasion, a fairly well-known person, I can't remember who it was, had died, and the inquest was opened and adjourned at his home address, and very early in the morning. And the coroner's officer attended, knocked on his front door, and with him was a member of the press. And my father ushered them in, and he was wearing his dressing gown, a silk dressing gown. And anyway, the press, the man from the press, I think from a national paper, went away and reported the fact that the coroner, who had a fairly important judicial post, had actually opened this inquest and was doing his job wearing a dressing gown. And the matter came to the attention of the Lord Chancellor's department, and I think many people...
Good heavens.
I think many people thought that he was going to be severely reprimanded for his sartorial elegance or lack of it. And on the contrary, they gave him his full backing and said the coroner can open an inquest at howsoever he wants and he can dress in whatever way he finds appropriate. But that hit the headlines on a national tabloid paper about a coroner opening an inquest in his dressing gown. I think they were rather hoping, rather mischievously, that he'd get into trouble, but far from it.
Yes.
And it's a story that's quite well known.
Yes, oh, very good, yes. I'm sure it was an extremely respectable dressing gown.
It was. It was a silk one, and he made the comment at the time that it made him look like Noel Coward.
How lovely. Yeah. Very nice.
But he was also very... of course, he has a wealth of very funny stories which he used to tell. The people are more straight-faced, straight-laced when they go about their business in courts. But because the courts are the business of advocacy is quite a solemn, serious process.
Indeed.
When funny things do happen, they tend to be very, very funny. And my favourite story, which I've told many times, which is absolutely true, is of an occasion way back in the 60s when my father was accidentally sent to prison. And that happened because some crusty old magistrate, whose name I can't remember and probably shouldn't say,
that might be a good idea.
He was looking down at his piece of paper on which he had written the name of the defendant who was about to be sentenced and my father's name as his advocate, as his solicitor. And he got them mixed up. And when it came to pronounce his sentence and he wanted to send him to prison, he said, still looking at his paper, "Hipwell, stand up." So my father dutifully stood up. And he said, "I'm going to send you to prison for 6 months." Because my father played this up for all it was worth and said, "I'm terribly sorry, sir. I didn't mean to offend you in any way with my advocacy, but if there's something I can possibly do to redeem myself and ask you to reconsider," and while he was saying all this, of course, the magistrate did look up, realised his mistake, and jumped to his feet, came rushing round the desk to my father, shook him by the hand, said, "My dear chap, I'm terribly sorry."
Good.
So he always talks about the occasion when he was accidentally sent to prison.
Yes, he avoided the actual imprisonment, I'm pleased to hear. He had a lot of civic duties, didn't he? What did he have to do when he was sheriff?
Oh, I really don't know, Marnie.
Right.
I don't know much as the sheriffs do now, really. I suppose you
just
open...
make public appearances.
You make public appearances, you go to dinners, you get invited to all sorts of weird and wonderful dinners, and you open things and close things. And I don't really... I was a very small boy at the time, so I don't really remember much about what he did. I just remember he wore this funny, strange sort of Napoleonic hat with a sort of pointy bit at the front.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and there's lots of chains, but not as many as Harry Perry had as Lord Mayor. But he was a county councillor and a city councillor for many years, mainly a city councillor, and that gave rise to his becoming sheriff eventually.
So he was very involved in the life of the city?
Yeah, but he was also very involved in charitable endeavours. There were a few charities very close to his heart throughout his life, the British Legion, the Normandy Veterans, Scope, which in those days was called the Spastic Association, and Action for the Crippled Child, as it was then known, which is now called Action for something else to do with disabled children. He was involved with all these, so it meant that he was forever attending meetings and attending functions and fundraising dues and stuff like that. So there was little time for bringing up four children, really.
And wasn't he a big boating man?
Big boating man, that was his passion. He was completely devoted to the Norfolk Broads all his life. His father had a cruiser on the Broads before him, which he inherited. Indeed, it was the boat on which his second wife died when I was there, actually, as a small baby. But he was always passionate. He's had a succession of motor cruisers, and he had a sailing boat and a little launch, and he used to spend many happy weekends staying on his boats and touring around the Broads. He was the most useless yachtsman, and he would be the first to tell you that. The only time he ever won a race was on a very windy day at the Thurn Regatta on the River Thurn, when only three boats entered. One pulled out before the start, one pulled out during the race, which just left my father.
So
he had there was no choice but to give him the cup.
So he did achieve something.
Exactly. But he was a social sailor. He actually formed what was called the Ramworth Yacht Squadron. Got into a bit of trouble for that, because it was initially called the RYS, the Ram, which of course are the same initials as the Royal Yacht Squadron. So he had to adapt the logo to RYS, Ranworth Yacht Squadron, and they had T-shirts made and funny hats, and basically it was a little boys pretending to be, well, grown men pretending to be little boys, basically. It was an opportunity to have lots of social events and drink too much on boats and mess around, basically. And that's what he loved about the river. And he carried on sailing right up until his 70s.
Rupert, thank you ever so much for coming to talk to us. It's been really great. A lot of people will be interested to hear all of that. The people that have faint memories of him doing something in town will be pleased that you're still charitably inclined and reading here. That's very good. And so we thank you very much indeed for coming along.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Marnie.